Get the slide whistle sound effect ready to go for the Dow again. All you people that went and bought yesterday, how's that feel? Yikes. 1464 down on the Dow. Wow. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Speaking of yikes, it is the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday, 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Jeff Stein will join us a little bit later on. We'll talk, obviously, what happened last night. Maybe even get a little bit into the what happened with the coronavirus and the, you know, just, yeah. Last night was not a good night for Bernie Sanders. Just that it wasn't. And I'll tell you what, I'll save that for Stein. We'll get into that a little bit later on. First off, though, Eric, the owner of 3790 West Bademakaska Parkway, was not looking forward to his street name changing. The house is one of just four Minneapolis single-family properties listed at $4 million plus. Belongs to a Tom Austin, one of the loudest opponents of changing the name to Bademakaska from the former Lake Calhoun. Listed on Sunday for $4 million, the mid-century modern stunner from 1957 was reimagined by San Francisco architect Jim blah, 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 blah. There's a visceral feeling of serenity and beauty throughout, and the feeling of oneness with the lake. You know, it makes you really want to embrace, I don't know, a racist bastard from the South. It makes you want just this guy, that kind of house, you know? It makes you want to forget the father of the Civil War. Yep, almost does. About the lake, in 2017, Star Tribune let Austin, who's CEO of Minneapolis venture capital private equity firm F2 Group, write 568 words about the 350 neighbors he supposedly polled regarding the name change. 80% opposed it, Austin claims. Since the late 1820s, the lake has been named after a 19th century South Carolina politician, John C. Calhoun, who, by the way, I was in South Carolina, and I flipped off his picture because he's a racist bastard. Anywho, the pro-slavery zealot Calhoun, with no real connection to Minnesota, it was known as Bademakaska by the indigenous Dakota people. Austin did not care, damn it. These people, he wrote, oh, that's always a good way to start off. Good thinking, Mr. Austin. These people, he wrote, referring to the neighbors he said he surveyed, raised a good question. What exactly have the Dakota Indians done that has positive contributions to all Minnesotans?
Yes.
Wow. What is the heroism or accomplishments that we are recognizing in order to justify renaming the lake to Bademakaska? Unfortunately, nobody had any answers. Ooh, I've got an answer. The Native Americans were not slave owners who were calling for slavery and calling for a civil war, which ended up killing hundreds of thousands of Americans because the South wanted to keep black people as slaves, and we had to stop them from doing that. How about they didn't do that, huh? Did that qualify? Apparently not. He continued. Oh, did he now? Ironically, none of them was able to provide specifically what exactly we needed to atone for other than Calhoun was a racist and we stole all the land from the Native Americans. He said Indians, but I'm not going to be like him. To some, those points, i.e. America's foundation of racism and genocide, seem like things you should atone for. For Austin, more vagaries than stood in the way of saving the name from Lake Calhoun, a fight the businessman was willing to personally bankroll later that year. An ad appeared in the Star Tribune for Austin's Save Lake Calhoun Legal Defense Fund. He'd reappear in the Star yet again in 2019, this time to rage against the bullying elites, media activists, and politicians who advocated for the name change. Okay. By the way, this is a guy who has a $4 million house raging against the elites. Really? To see how the saga ended in early 2019, we simply visit the website SaveLakeCalhoun.com, which apparently under new ownership, the street signs around Bademakaska went up last fall. Austin bought a 3790 West Bademakaska Parkway for $712,000 in 2001, according to county records. We reached out for his thoughts He never got back to City Pages for this story. So, you know, just understand this. As this guy is leaving, I don't know if he's leaving because the lake's name changed, but there is no way he can list the house as anything other than West Bede-Makaska Parkway. You just can't. It's got to be listed as the official city street, and there you go. John C. Calhoun was a bastard, and we should rip his name off every damn thing. How about we do that? And if you want to look at me and say, well, what was the big problem here? I want your butt to go to Gettysburg and go to the Minnesota First Memorial over there, where the Minnesota First basically was had the greatest loss of life of any unit in the history of the American military and still stood. 300 of our guys took on 3,000 of the Southerners, and we won. But tell them how John C. Calhoun should have his name on that Minnesota lake. You go and tell those guys, huh? Ah, ah, ah. I'm sure they'll take your side. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Dear God, nothing triggers white guys, white people more than a Native American name being returned to an area which was... The Native American name being returned to an area which, by all accounts, we can. But no one even knew what the name was, even after we gave it the English version or the Irish version or the French version.
Does this guy just live in a constant panic attack, being in a state called Minnesota?
Living on a road in front of that lake, that bastard lake.
He moved to Jefferson Davis Lake. He had to get away from this one.
Oh yeah, God. I'm moving to beautiful Robert E. Leeville. I don't know. I mean, it's like Bedote. I mean, the thing which is hilarious about Bedote is we say Bedote in a variation all the time because Bedote was translated to French, and then the French got translated to English and became Mendota. So if you say Mendota, you're actually saying Bedote, and so get over your uptight white ass, okay? Just, it's Bedote. Dear Lord, you people. I mean, is that really white privilege? I mean, seriously, is that your outrage of the day, is a Native American name being returned to a place in the state of Minnesota?
Yeah, half the locations in the state are named after Dakota names.
How dare you violate... How dare you violate my name and my place in Minnetonka with a Native American name. Ooh, yes. Good thinking there. 952-946-6205. A little laugh before we get into the... state health officials are readying a new phase of the COVID-19 outbreak in Minnesota, where five people now have tested positive for the illness, according to including in Olmsted County, an individual who went to work while symptomatically and may have spread the virus that causes the illness to others. That's Olmsted County. One thing I want to know is if this guy was sick in this day and age and he called up his boss and he said, I'm sick. And did the boss say, nope, get in here. You got to work. I have no idea where the guy works, but I want to know if that happened. While all five people were likely infected during travel outside of Minnesota, the odds of community transmission of the virus within the state are increasing, said Chris Eshelman, infectious disease director of the Minnesota Department of Health. That might mean the cancellation of mass gatherings to prevent the spread of the coronavirus, she said, but it definitely means that people need to stay home when suffering fever and respiratory illness. Duh! Seriously, you know, not only do individuals need to stay home, but don't call, if the person's saying, I'm really feeling bad, I shouldn't be into work today, don't sit there and say, well, who's going to work the fry bins? Don't just find someone else to work the fry bins. How about that? I mean, stay home. Don't just stay home from work. Well, it really helps slow down the spread of the virus. The fourth and fifth cases were discovered through state testing last Tuesday, involved a Ramsey County resident in the 30s age range and the Olmsted patient in the 50s age range. Both are recovering at home. Minnesota's third case involved an Anoka County resident in the 30s range who remains hospitalized in critical condition. Health officials in Olmsted are now working with the infected individual in that southeast Minnesota county to identify the coworkers who might have been close enough to contact to now be at risk for COVID-19. You know, oh, I, and I, by the way, I also want to make sure I mention the other story. In an unprecedented move, the University of Minnesota announced Wednesday it's canceling all in-person classes across all five campuses, moving to online classes starting on Monday due to concerns over the coronavirus outbreak. The U, which has nearly, and by the way, these are pretty smart people. The last I checked, these people over there, they've got those college degrees that are running the place. They are saying, okay, no, this is a bad idea. The U, which has nearly 63,000 undergraduate and graduate students across the five campuses, is the largest of the Minnesota universities and colleges that are all preparing this week to move classes online so students and staff can continue to participate from home and minimize group contact due to the outbreak. The U is the first to announce the move to online-only classes, and which will continue until at least April 1st. On Wednesday, Minnesota officials confirmed the state's fourth COVID-19. Now we have the fifth case. The Duluth, Rochester, and Twin Cities campuses are on spring break this week, which is slated to end on Monday, but is now extended until Wednesday at Morris and Crookston. Students are having in-person classes through this Friday, then are on spring break starting next week. So, and my guess is going to be, as a matter of fact, the question that we have is, we've got the girls' basketball tournament going on right now, and I live in Hopkins. Hopkins is playing there. I'm kind of wondering, is there going to make a call here? If not for the girls' basketball tournament, will they make the call for the boys' basketball tournament next week that they'll play those games in an empty gym? Because right now, you are now starting to see pro sports leagues put forward the idea that they are as well going to start playing for at least the next few weeks in empty arenas. Which, by the way, LeBron James, when he complained about that, what the hell are you doing, dude? I'm sorry. I'm sorry you don't get the accolades in person. But for God's sakes, there might be sick people out there that might want to take 3 hours of their day to forget about their illness by watching you play basketball. Don't throw a pity party for yourself. Get out there and play the game. And I'm not saying that because I think I should control you. I'm saying that because, for goodness sakes, you not playing because they're going to empty the arenas to prevent a massive outbreak of coronavirus is not a personal affront to you to not play, dude. You know, just, you know, think about it as a, kind of a, you know, at a distance USO tour. How about that? Where you're playing the game and people, you know, you're just not going to the bases and playing for the soldiers. You're just going out there, you're playing the game and let everyone at home appreciate how good you really are at this game. But realize it's not personal if the NBA says, oh, we're going to empty the arenas. And, you know, so don't take your toys and go home, for goodness sake.
They're not doing an only LeBron James empty arena games.
That would be weird. That would be, it's like, I'm in
we're
Boston.
Worried about you spreading the disease.
You probably shouldn't be going to work, LeBron, if you are having a fever and a cough. You probably should be staying home. But, I mean, that's the real fear. And, you know, hopefully Olmsted County guy didn't go to a basketball game or anything like that. It's not personal. It's just, this is common sense. I mean, as a matter of fact, and one of the things that's happening is that because Trump is such a freaking ass and he's so incompetent at all this stuff that people are really questioning what we should do. Look at what the rest of the world is doing, which, by the way, no one's looking at what the United States is doing anymore. We are no longer the leader. We are basically being ignored. Did you see? I don't know if you saw the delivery. There was a guy in China that was there, and he had the guy deliver food to him. Did you see that clip?
No, I haven't seen this.
It is wild because during this, what they did is, so the guy would drive up. He would not go to your door. He would not go in the building. He would meet you outside. You had to show ID. You put the ID down on the back of his bike. He was walked away. He would walk over. You would walk back. He'd grab his ID, look at your ID, put the ID down. He'd walk back. You'd come back, grab his ID. He'd then put down the tray for you to sign to show that you pay for it, right? That you delivered it. He would back up, you would go up, you would go sign, you would back up, he would pick up the tray, he would open up the back of the bike where the little heater was, you'd come up, he'd walk away, he'd come up, you'd grab the food, he'd come back, close the door, immediately wipe down every damn thing, and off he went. Dear Lord! In this country, just, Mr. Manager, could I have like an extra tissue? This is not printed, taking my money by asking for an extra tissue. Dear Lord, we couldn't even do anything like that in this country. They've shut down Italy. They're testing everyone in Germany and in South Korea. And by the way, Germany is an important one because that is about the same time the Germans learned about at the same time we are. And in this country, we have only had 10,000 people out of a country of 330 million. Only 10,000 people have been tested. While Germany, which is 80 million, 85 million, they're trying to test everyone in the country right now. Because right now in the United States, Trump's trying to make money off of this test, for God's sakes. You got Trump basically trying to use coronavirus to kill the Social Security for everyone. Because he doesn't care. He does not care. He only wants his rallies where people can praise him. He wants his stock market so he can brag about it. He does not care. And this is why this is going to get a lot worse. And so, to a point, I can understand why a guy like LeBron James is like, what's the big deal? I want to play in front of fans. It's a big deal because when the smarties over at like the University of Minnesota and every other major university are like, yeah, no. When every other health agency seems to be saying, okay, this is going to get really bad. This is going to get really bad. When they're all saying, you know, no, this should be the case. I don't know if you saw the video. I saw the Texas Republican trying desperately to get the health official to claim coronavirus wasn't that serious. And he says that, you know, he says, like, well, this is really not that bad, is it? It was, well, actually, and the guy does a very good job of explaining this. He says, well, if you have the flu basically, it's 0.1% of all people that get the flu die of the flu. So basically, one out of every 1,000 people who get the flu die of the flu. Coronavirus has been showing up at 3% rates, but let's just, you know, be careful because those rates are, they're fluctuating. We'll just go with the 1% rate. Even at that point, it is 10 times more deadly than the flu. The guy upset about the fact that he just pointed out that the coronavirus is much deadlier than the flu then goes to SARS and H1N1 and says, all these things, they're all so much better. So, no, those had some serious death rates, but look at how those things spread. They didn't spread. I mean, the H1N1, I think, it was like a 30% death rate, but it didn't spread very fast. It was over like a year and a half. You look at how coronavirus is spreading, this is going to be much, much worse, to which then the Republican changed the subject. Because they don't want the truth out there. They don't give a rat's ass about you guys. They just want to turn this into some sort of Democratic conspiracy theory. We are screwed. We are screwed because our government is being run by the most incompetent boobs on the planet. And the only people that seem to have any kind of common sense are the Democrats at this point. The ones that are out there saying, oh, no, we got to do this. We got to try to save people. No, we need to give a massive tax payout to the shale oil industry. My buddy lost a lot of money in capitalism, which it was. He lost money via capitalism. That's the breaks. And so what is Trump doing? I'm going to embrace socialism and give him a massive taxpayer handout. I'll tell you what, Bernie Sanders wasn't the biggest socialist on the ticket, potentially on the ticket at the end of this year. Johnny Socialism lives in the White House, and he can't print enough money, taxpayer money, for he and his buddies. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Eric, let's go ahead and take a break right now. We'll come on back. I'll get David the Trucker on in, as well as also a good Supreme Court ruling. I want to get to that before we get to Stein. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Formerly the Audubon Center of the Northwoods, Osprey Wilds is a nonprofit environmental learning center on Grindstone Lake in Sandstone, Minnesota. Osprey Wilds has community events like Dinner at the Lake, Maple Syrup Day, and learning opportunities for all ages. Audit an environmental education college class, snowshoe or ski our trails, or learn about our wildlife programming. We're open to the public year-round. Visit online at OspreyWilds.org. That's OspreyWilds.org.
Hi, this is Chad from AM950. I've been telling you about Snap Construction, the company AM950 trusts for all roofing and siding needs. Now that spring is here and summer is around the corner, now is a great time to find out why AM950 trusts Snap Construction. Ryan, the owner, and his team at Snap Construction have been great to work with, and they have enjoyed working with our listeners.
Hi, this is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. We've absolutely loved working with the listeners at AM950. What a great group of people and a great radio station. I personally want to thank all the listeners that we've had the opportunity to work with. At Snap Construction, we look forward to working with many more of you when it comes to your roofing, siding, windows, and insulation. Don't just take Chad's word for it. Google Snap Construction, arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, and insulation contractor in the Twin Cities Metro. We led this community with a lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Don't wait to get a free estimate. Call today, 612-333-SNAP, 612-333-SNAP, or visit us online, snapconstruction.com.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of Living Healthy and Aging Well, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on Saturdays from noon to one, where we talk about your health and your life and provide insights to living and aging well. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding health care, elder care, end-of-life care, and caregiver support to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your highest quality of life today. Please join us every Saturday from noon to one for Living Healthy and Aging Well.
With the warmer weather coming, it's time to get that new Toyota vehicle you've wanted at Rudy Luther Toyota. Everyone loves the RAV4, and Rudy Luther has both the hot-selling 2020 RAV4 and the wildly popular RAV4 Hybrid. Both have inspiring design, intuitive technology, and smart style, and Rudy Luther has 250 available. And test drive the completely redesigned Highlander. Discover more quality for family time with the refined interior and the striking exterior. Stop by Rudy Luther Toyota today, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis on 394.
No matter what your taste, you'll find the music you're looking for at the Electric Fetus. Pick from rock, pop, international, roots music, and so much more on CD and vinyl. Or create your own compilation of favorites with the exclusive Mix and Burn CD station, only available at the Electric Fetus. Dust off your vinyl or just make some space by turning your unwanted music into cash. The used selection changes daily, so check out the new arrivals often. 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
The University of Minnesota is offering mindfulness-based stress reduction, an 8-week course that will help you learn about the physiology and science of stress. Learn about taking control of your life, being aware of influences that affect your health and well-being, finding peace of mind, and returning to balance. Discover how to consciously and methodically deal with stress, pain, illness, and the demanding challenges of everyday life. Beginning March 31st in White Bear Lake, space is limited. Register now at csh.umn.edu.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. David the Trucker is calling us. David, where are you driving at today at this point?
Right now I'm in Missouri.
Okay.
But I want to thank you for talking me off the ledge, man, because, you know, I've been watching this administration, and I don't put nothing past them. And, you know, my mind is going conspiracy theory stuff, okay? And I would, as bad as it is, I would much rather believe that he is, you know, delaying the test for money than that he was, you know, not caring about our population, and maybe he wanted to take the numbers down a little bit. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Well, I wouldn't put David, thank you very much. Dear Lord, that got dark. You know, I will say this. Would I put it past, if you want to know the truth is, would I put it past Trump if all of a sudden it looks like he's about to get annihilated in November and the Republicans are looking at historic losses that, you know, and his own base terrified of coronavirus might not show up to vote. Would I put it past him to try to delay the election? Not, I he would try it. I guarantee you will. The question is, will the Supreme Court allow him? Because, you know, that's going to be an interesting precedent. Are you going to allow presidents to delay elections? Lincoln didn't delay the 1864 election, and there was a war going on in the country. As a matter of fact, fairly close to Washington, D.C., and he did not stop it. So it would be – that would be – but, you know, one of the truth is they've paid – the Republicans have paid for these Supreme Court justices, and you know what? They want money for their return. And so it will be interesting to see. 952-946-6205. The breaking news, Minnesota Supreme Court upholds Winona County's frac sand mining ban. The Winona County acted fully within its rights in using its zoning authority to prohibit industrial mining. Further affirmation that government exists to protect people and land. There's a statement that's going to be coming on out here as well. The Blue Stem Prairie covered the Winona County ordinance fight and silica sand mining in Minnesota itself for many years. One of the best resources on the issue was created by the information pros in the Minnesota Legislative Reference Library. In particular of interest, the legislative history that led to the creation of laws that allow Winona County to pass and defend the ordinance. So basically, they allowed communities to write these ordinances that prevented them from saying it, but now we're trying to come on back through the judicial branch and say, but those ordinances shouldn't matter. It was basically trying to, you know, have your cake and eat it too, that sort of thing. And the Supreme Court stood up for Winona County, and good for them. The Minnesota Supreme Court today upheld Winona County's landmark ordinance banning frac sand mining. The court upheld that Winona County acted fully within its rights and using its zoning authority in 2016 to prohibit industrial mining operations. This ruling upholds a previous district ruling issued in 2017 and an appellate ruling issued in 2018. This ruling further affirms that our government belongs to the people and exists to take bold action to protect the common good for both people and the land, said Joanna Ruprecht, a organizer of the Land Stewardship Project, which worked with Winona County residents on a 17-month grassroots campaign to put in place the frac sand mining ban. This ruling affirms the power that organized people have. Now, if you don't know what okay, so when you're looking at, you know, the shale mining, which Trump is trying to give $2 billion to his buddy because capitalism kind of sucks sometimes. What they do is they take water and they put sand in it and they blast it into the earth, into these shale areas, because this is oil that was supposedly for years unable to be drilled. And so you put down a drill, you drill a hole, basically high pressure water and sand into the said hole. It cracks up the shale and the oil comes out of it, and that's how they're doing it. And that's why there's all this mining that's up in the Dakotas. Yeah, just a little bit of background, but they need sand for it. And while they were looking at basically ripping apart Winona County, corporate interests wanted all the sand out of there. In the same way that corporate interests want to take a lot of Minnesota's water and take it over there and use it for these projects. And no, we're not going to do that. But this is a nice thing to see. It's nice to see. Now, I don't know if they'll try to appeal it to the Supreme Court. I don't know if the Supreme Court could really step in on this. But the reality is I get tired of how the conservatives have made the system to where they'll set a law that says, well, you as a county can say no, but then they'll wink at corporate America and say, well, but you can sue them on the backside and basically take them to the court and hopefully you'll be able to win that court case. The reality is that, you know, a county should be able to say, you know what, we don't want you in here ripping up our entire county for a product which, you know, you're not really giving us any value with, and it's basically destroying the pretty nature of the county. Some counties have gone along with it. Winona County, they win their fight. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. We got a lot to get to with Stein about last night and various other things as well. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak.
And I'm Adam Ostrowski.
We are here at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces to talk about outdoor fires. Sitting around a fire is the oldest, most basic form of human activity.
What's new is in the way fire is burned. We can show you how to burn cleaner with a lot less smoke.
The radiant heat and light from an open fire is unmatched. It kindles our spirits and connects us to the outdoors. And now it's easier to experience and enjoy.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces sells and installs wood and gas burning fire pits and fireplaces. Let us help you experience an outdoor fire without all the smoke.
Come see the many ways you can enjoy a fire outdoors.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood and gas units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. More information at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that works for you. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist's point of view. Visit our website at minnesotaatheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. Our station has worked with Barbara from WYSIWYG Web Design for years on everything from logo to print design, and especially for developing our website. She does great work and is great to work with, listening to what our goals and design ideas were while offering new, innovative ideas to create the website we are proud of today. Barbara made sure she understood our station, our goals, and our mission before she started working on our site and made suggestions to help control the cost. Plus, she's friendly, which set us at ease. I recommend Barbara at WYSIWYG Web Design because I know she will deliver an attractive, professional website within the budget you have. She is a local independent business that specializes in helping other local businesses achieve their website and design goals. She can work with nearly any budget and create anything from simple sites to robust custom functionality. To find out more about the company AM950 Trust, go to WYSIWYGWebDesign.com. Spelled out just like it sounds, WYSIWYGWebDesign.com.
Did you know there's deconstruction funding available now for homeowners and contractors in Hennepin County? If you are embarking on a remodel or teardown this year, consider hiring Better Futures Minnesota's deconstruction crews instead of demolition. By taking a house or building apart by hand instead of destroying it with heavy equipment, the materials can be reused or recycled instead of going into the landfill. It is much more cost-effective and is a carbon-neutral solution. Go to betterfuturesminnesota.com and look under Business Services to learn more.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club, the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Stop on by there. Picked as one of the best jazz bands in the, or jazz venues in the world. You can go see a lot of great jazz bands there. Check out their schedule. There's a link at the website pages for both Progressive Citizen X, Matt McNeil Show on Facebook, as well as on Twitter. Stop on by the Matt McNeil Show there. You will find the link. Go enjoy great food, great music at Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club, the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert. He's a noted author. Find his books at Next Chapter Books, as well as totallyiowa.com. Of course, the Iowa Business Report is something he produces. It's good. And the Iowa Politics Report comes from KXEL, Cedar Falls, Waterloo. And this is as close as I'm allowing you to get to me, sicko. I can already tell your typhoid, Jeff.
Okay, let's be honest with the audience. Who just sneezed his head off during the break and claimed it was allergies?
It was allergies. It's
sure,
65.
Yeah, okay, fine.
All right. I sneezed once. All right, I'm getting ready to sneeze again now just because I started talking about it. Do we have an official call on Washington yet? Have you seen that?
I don't think we do. And that's surprising in and of itself, because going into the day yesterday, the smart money said that the western states were probably Bernie, North Dakota probably, and then the rest would be for Biden. But that losing Idaho – that didn't help Bernie. Neck and neck in Washington. You can blame coronavirus all you want, but Biden's people showed up to vote. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a real tough thing for Bernie. But I loved, by the way, I loved his news conference. I thought that was exactly what his supporters want to hear and exactly what he needs to do if he has any chance in this campaign. And as I mentioned in the Iowa Politics Report today, Joe does not have half the delegates necessary yet. He's not even at half the delegates. The same pundits who said Bernie was a lock for the nomination a month ago are the ones writing his obituary today. The first debate between the two of them is Sunday night. Two of them as in one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see how that goes, because frankly, the former vice president has not been all that good on the debate stage or on the stump of late. And so for anyone to say this thing is over and there's no path is forgetting the fact that there is a nationally televised debate on Sunday night. And the way everything, Matt, just turns on a dime in this cycle, you know, I mean, they'd best be a little reserved in writing anybody's political obituary at this point.
And that being said, I mean, one of the things which is a problem, because you're right, this isn't over. And you, when you talk about Biden having doesn't have half the delegates needed, it's not clear whether or not either one of these guys, even if Biden wins pretty handily all the way out, would have enough. And that's the way the system is set up, that if you get a certain amount of delegates, you automatically become the nominee. If not, then the superdelegates come on in, and there's no way in the planet the superdelegates are going to side with Sanders. Let's be honest about that.
Right.
And also, it should be noted that any delegates won by Bloomberg and Klobuchar and Buttigieg are all going to go to Biden for the most part. I mean, there's no odd thing that I think requires them to, but my guess is if you are an Amy Klobuchar delegate, that you're not necessarily going to find more familiarity with Bernie than you are with Biden. But that being said, last night, the Michigan was fascinating somewhat to watch because it really did show the difference between 2016 and now. And in 2016, you know, he was the other candidate, the other choice on the buffet. And frankly, a lot of people did not like Hillary Clinton, although she did win the election by 3 million votes. You know, it was you know, primaries and caucuses are the opportunity for you to go out and put out your personal choice without it affecting the general election. And so, you know, they showed how that Bernie in all these counties in 2016, how much he had lost in those counties, though, and especially in western parts of the states, rural parts of the state, and the suburbs. Boy, I mean, Bernie really... I mean, he barely won places like where the University of Michigan is, and that's supposed to be his bread and butter.
This is the thing that is interesting to me, Matt, and we have it with every, I'll say, second time candidate. There's always this sense, and it's whether it's a congressional race or anything. The candidate who was a surprise in election number one, everybody says, oh well, when they run the second time, they'll just build on that support.
Yes. Yes.
Doesn't always happen. In fact, it rarely happens. Bernie's phenomenon was Bernie's phenomenon. In actuality, if you look at it from a historical standpoint, I would suggest that the surprise is not that he's doing worse in these places. The surprise is that he has been doing as well as he has been because he's not the new shiny object. He's not the counter candidate to some of these people. To some of these people, this is, you know, the second time, mm-hmm. right, that they've worked on a campaign. And so it's a very different dynamic. By the way, with regard to the delegate numbers, I did the math this morning, and that was before, Washington, we don't know. So I guess the numbers are still
and
the same.
By the way, really quick. I'm looking at Washington right now. 69% in. This was supposed to be a slam dunk for Sanders. It's 32.7 for Sanders, 32.5 for Biden. And I think a lot of it depends. If the West is not is underreported – then you know the non-Seattle area, the non-Olympia area, if that's underreported, Biden's going to win that state. If it's the other way around, Sanders will win that state.
And again, to your point, this shouldn't even have been a contest.
Yes.
And if you play the stereotype out, the Sanders voters would crawl on glass to get there. They're not worried about coronavirus. It would be the Biden voters who would be a little more reticent. And for it to be this close when that's the dynamic is staggering. But I did the math this morning. You give Joe all his delegates. You assume that Bloomberg, Klobuchar, and Buttigieg's delegates all are released and go for Joe. Assume they all go for Joe.
Yes.
Because once they're released, they're released. He still, even with that, Matt, doesn't have half the number of 1991 he needs.
Exactly.
So I understand everyone who says, boy, there's just no path. Boy this, boy that. Okay, I'm sorry, but Joe is prone to making a mistake, and I'm not saying anything more than that. Bernie has his flaws. Everybody does. But I'm just saying that Joe's reputation is as a gaffe machine.
Well, okay, I'm going to stop you because I want to ask you a question then on that directly.
Please. Okay.
What percentage of – I mean, you saw what he did with it in that truck factory when he just jumped all over that guy and just – he absolutely throttled him. He really did I thought a nice job with that. But still, aggressive language, aggressive tone. He went after the guy.
Right.
If he does have a massive gaffe, really, what percentage of his voters do you think would leave his campaign and run to Bernie Sanders' campaign?
Ah, that's the point. It's not run to Bernie Sanders. And I think that's what you're getting to, because they – at what point do Democrats say Bernie is not our path to victory? Oh, my God, but Joe, we love him, but this isn't going to work. At what point do they sort of stop and say we need to hit the pause button? Everybody lined up behind Joe to stop Bernie.
But you're also you're forgetting the third dance partner here in Trump. I mean, you really.
Yeah.
I mean, I think what you have to do is it's got to be worse than something Trump has done, which is a pretty high bar at this point. I mean,
misunderstand. I'm not saying that the voters say, well, it ain't Bernie, it ain't Joe, it must be Trump. I'm saying the Democrats look for a different option.
Well, no, that's what I'm – but I'm not saying that necessarily either. I'm saying, okay, if you're a Biden supporter right now and you're thinking this is great, and even if Biden makes a, you know, a really inappropriate comment, gesture, something like this,
Yeah.
The reality is, are you going to say to yourself, well, I'm going to go with Bernie Sanders, or I'm not going to vote, or I'm going to go with Trump, or I'm just going to say, Joe, please stop talking and I'll just stay with you. And I think the fourth category, D, is what most people are going to do. Because even if Biden really screws up, I think most of the people who are on Biden's train right now are not getting off.
You are correct in what I'm going to call a finite universe, and you're correct in what is probably most likely. Yes. Okay. No, the Joe people aren't going to go for Bernie. They aren't going to go for Trump. You just hope they hang on with Joe. Okay. But what I'm saying is, and that, you know, whatever happens Sunday night in the debate won't affect the voting on Tuesday. But there's a Tuesday after that, and then in a few weeks there's a Tuesday after that. And what I'm saying is, how many, not just voters, not voters, because they can't control this, but how many folks higher up at the national level say, all right, we have to figure something out because Joe is not going to be able to get it done. And I have heard every scenario, and it's all conspiracy theory, okay? I've heard everything from Joe gets the nomination and picks a vice presidential choice who ultimately winds up being the candidate in time for the general election. That, in other words, that Joe is a puppet so that Bernie doesn't get the nomination. Okay, now I'm telling you how crazy this is, right?
Well, but I think we're getting to a point where if we have to put out such outlandish scenarios to basically give Bernie Sanders a shot at this. Okay, let's go back to the numbers, okay? First of all, once again, southeastern United States, Mississippi, he didn't even get 15%. Every freaking delegate in Mississippi is going to go to Biden. That's right. That once again, one of the things I am just astonished by is that they did not have a better game plan in 2020 than they had in 2016 for the southeastern United States and with African Americans. It just, he did not resonate. You also have to look at the next week, because the next week is a ton of delegates with Florida, Ohio, Illinois, and Arizona. Right now, the best state for Sanders. Now, granted, we do have the debate here, but I think a lot of people on the Democratic side have already made up their mind. But we have the best state is Ohio, with a 1 in 12 chance that Sanders can win that. 1 in 12. There's less than a 1% chance of him winning Florida at this point. And you know, and the reality is, okay, so he barely wins Ohio. He barely wins Illinois. He barely wins Arizona. And he gets annihilated in Florida. And Biden still adds another 200 delegates to his lead. I think that when you look at this, regardless of what could potentially happen, and I'm not a big fan of the potential, I just look at the reality and that, yeah, you're right. Bernie Sanders isn't out of this, but Bernie Sanders has to pretty much win every state here on out, about 10 to 15%, for him to have a chance at overriding Biden. And I just don't see how that happens.
Bernie Sanders will not be the Democrat nominee because those running the Democratic Party will not allow it. And I firmly believe, I don't want to say the fix is in, but
are you saying then the results are? I mean, okay,
the people are
voting, and if we're going to take the results, say Michigan last night, as legit, then the voters are making the decision here.
Absolutely right. Okay. Absolutely right. No, but here's what I am saying. How did the field get cleared so swiftly, so smoothly, and with all those endorsements just in time for Super Tuesday? This is what I'm saying, is that the establishment is not going to let him get the nomination. And if it means promising these other folks the moon to get out, I mean, how many people were literally promised that they were going to be the vice president? I mean, I swear. Okay, so my
large
point
cabinet.
Is that
it's a large cabinet.
Yeah. Well, and I heard somebody on the right side of the spectrum say, well, if anybody was going to need a lot of vice presidents, it would be a failing Joe Biden. Yeah, okay, haha, that's terribly humorous because your guy's got his own issues. But the point is that when I say the fix is in, nobody's rigging a ballot box. When I say that the Democrats won't let Bernie be the nominee, it's because of things that they may do with superdelegates, changing debate rules, doing whatever it is, because they don't want him to be the nominee. Now here's the question that actually I'll ask you. Do you think the Democratic Party would rather lose with Biden and just kind of clear the decks, as opposed to have Sanders be the nominee.
Oh,
and
no, I would. They would much rather lose with Biden for this reason, is that with Biden, at least they're not going to lose like Minnesota 2, Minnesota 3. I don't see how in the world the Democrats hold any moderate Democratic seat in the House or the Senate with Bernie, because I just don't think Bernie's going to go on out there and campaign for them. And on top of that, those candidates are going to be put in a god-awful position of having to defend, you know, they're going to label him as communist. But the reality, I hear, and I'll also say this, superdelegates, I've made the point, they're already, yeah, they're going to go Biden. I mean, there's not a, well, we'll think about it. No, they're all going to go Biden. But I, you know, when you talk about this, here's, I'll even go a little deeper cut on the Democrats pushing to get Biden in there. Back in January 31st, Tlaib, Representative Tlaib, goes out there and does the booing of Hillary Clinton. And the reason why she did this is because Hillary Clinton came on out and said some less than nice things about Bernie Sanders.
Right.
I think she did a rope-a-dope. I think she basically set that up, knowing that the Bernie Sanders people could not hesitate. They so wanted to rip on them. And then they gave them the video clip that basically took all the Hillary Clinton fans. Once again, Hillary Clinton's not running this time. And she can have her opinion about things. And then I think she set that up to basically wait for someone from the Sanders campaign to attack her, which they did. And they kind of used that to say, see, eventually when we get down to one moderate on this side, you know, the choice is either this guy who likes to boo Hillary Clinton, or not Sanders, but the people like to boo Hillary Clinton, or it's going to be the other guy. I actually am of the mindset that I think that this started – you know, even before Iowa, that there was underlying going on that were pushing the party away from Sanders.
No question about it. It just became so much more obvious just before Super Tuesday. By the way, I see now we will not have fans at March Madness. This was just announced, which again.
It is. Well, I think it's the right thing. I mean,
no, I'm not arguing.
We shut down Italy. You can't go to Italy at all.
If you've shut down Italy, you might as well stop the March Madness. Well, and again, the NCAA had to have it because they need the revenue. So they have to hold the thing. But, yeah, no fans. This is the thing that makes this whole election – by the way, this COVID-19 is going to change this whole election unless it – gets under control within the next 60 days.
Let's stop right there. Let's take a break. Come back. We'll get into coronavirus, all right? Jeff Stein joining us, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Frank Brown, owner of the only minority-owned union print shop in Minnesota.
Do you work with political campaigns?
Yes, we have years of experience helping campaigns.
Do you print buttons for political campaigns?
Yes, we print everything.
Do you print rally signs?
Yes, we print everything.
Do you print t-shirts?
Yes, we print everything. Choose the only minority-owned union print shop in Minnesota for all your political campaign needs. Learn more at mpuptown.com. Minuteman Press Uptown. We print everything.
Finding the right lawyer is incredibly stressful. It can be tough to know even where to start. Don't just run an internet search for an attorney. Start with the Minnesota Lawyer Referral and Information Service, an enhanced program of the Hennepin and Ramsey County Bar Associations. They'll connect you with over 200 thoroughly vetted, qualified attorneys practicing in over 50 areas of law. Call 612-752-6699 or go to mnlawyerreferral.org. The right call for the right lawyer.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. By the way, Jeff, nice beating the ESPN app. They came in about a minute after you did on that. Nicely done.
I am here to serve.
The one thing I will say about this.
Yes.
Individuals within the party, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, they are entitled to try to drive the nomination one direction or the other. The question is whether or not is Bernie getting a fair shake. And the fact with the superdelegates, clearly he's not going to get a fair shake there. But I think the question is he's got to get it close enough to where at least he can make the argument. And right now, I just don't see how he's going to get close enough.
And that very well could be now, I suggested a bit ago that, you know, maybe Joe won't be the nominee. And again, that's going to require a lot of shenanigans, and all the Bernie supporters are going to be gone. Because that just shows how he's getting the short end of the straw again. Here's what's the most likely scenario. Joe gets the nomination. And I've heard many on the left suggest this. that the choice of the convention for vice president is in essence going to be the person they see as the next president. And that Joe might even go so far as to say, I'm only in it for one term. I'm your guy to get rid of that dreaded Donald Trump. I will get it turned around, then I hand the reins over, and here is my heir apparent, if you will. And I think that's the reason, as opposed to the morbid, oh my God, he's 78 years old, 77 years old, reason that so many of these people, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm gonna dish on Kamala Harris. Hey, nice courage of convictions to come out with an endorsement after your state's vote.
Yeah.
What was that about, other than nothing more than saying, I want to be the next vice president? I mean, that's why these people are so eager to do it, because they see Joe as a one-term president, whether of his own free will or mortality.
Well, and
then they have to come out and say, I'm only going to, you know, anybody who's worried about me, I'm in it for one term, and this is my vice president and my succession plan. I could sure see that being said even as early as the convention, Matt.
A lot of presidents in the history of this country have actually gone in saying, I'm going to do one term and that's it. And so it's not unprecedented by any means.
No, it's not great.
Coronavirus, the handling of this by the White House is astronomically horrific. I mean, really everything they do is about trying to get the Wall Street numbers back up. He's not listening to the experts and canceling rallies. And this whole idea of getting rid of Social Security through the payroll tax or handing out taxpayer subsidies to his buddies who had bad days on the stock market, I don't see any of this resonating very well for him at this point.
The number of people, Matt, who have said to me in the last 24 hours, what does the payroll tax have to do with coronavirus?
Exactly.
And that's the point. And you might make some tortured connection, but nobody sees how anybody is – you know, and again, fix coronavirus, you fix the stock market, all right? Now you have Anthony Fauci testifying before Congress that COVID 2019 is 10 times more lethal than the flu.
Yes.
Okay, so now you have the doctors, in essence, undermining what the president has been saying. He's now changed the time for his presidential address tonight. It's 8 o'clock Central as opposed to 7. Will that even start on time? Who knows? What's he going to say? Will he stay on script? And here's the thing. I bet he reads the script that they hand him perfectly, and it'll be simpatico with the doctors. That's what he'll read tonight. But before he goes to bed, he will have tweeted 4 times, undermining what he said at 8 o'clock Central.
And here's one of the big problems he has. We are looking at countries that the United States, let's be honest, looks down upon. And we're watching how much more effectively those countries are managing this crisis than we are. We've only tested 10,000 people in this country because of what seems to be profits being more important than actually caring. And people are actually sick and falling within definitely testable parameters and are being told, oh, well, we can't test you. I mean, there's some real serious problems going on right now that are undeniably leading to this being a far worse outbreak.
The fact that we don't know what we're dealing with should cause everyone to be concerned. It should cause everyone to be cautious. And the fact that this nation, from the government standpoint, was not ready for some unknown outbreak, it should be unsettling. I don't care who the president is.
Yeah.
I mean, if your government isn't ready for a worst-case scenario, I think if you ask most Americans, would you be willing to pay to be ready for a worst-case scenario, knowing that it might be a waste of money because kits become outdated, whatever?
Yeah.
I think they'd say, yeah, go with the abundance of caution. I'm good with my tax dollars going for that.
We managed this during SARS under W. Bush. We managed this with H1N1 under Obama. And we really managed it fairly well with Ebola under Obama. And here it is. It's a nightmare scenario. We'll spotlight this. I'll look for the Iowa Politics Report a little bit later on. Jeff, we will talk to you next week, my friend.
Be well, sir. Thank you.
Take care. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.